8 days ago, whilst on a walk with Fox and Ellie, I mentioned that I had the idea for a card game that used hidden rolls and hidden items to emulate a caper or heist just gone massively cockeyed, all messed up and stuff. And in that conversation, I remembered offhandedly saying, it's a shame the word fiasco is taken in gaming. And Fox said, well, there are good synonyms for that. And I pulled out my phone out in the middle of the street in dark, hot summer night and just Googled synonym fiasco. Up came the word botch. Then I came home and sketched out the initial sets of rules, which I then used as the basis to form parameters for what I wanted, and I talked to one of my artist friends who wanted to work with me on a card game. That card game is approaching being done because, in part, we made sure that it was a very small, tight little game. But 8 days to get this far through the development cycle of a game is pretty impressive to my eye. I'm really, really amazed at how quickly she's been able to work. She's rad as hell, by the way, and when the botch comes out, that's the thing. But the botch is a tabletop card game designed to exploit the difficulty humans have in categorizing tightly defined information and rules. You have a very small number of cards, two per player. You don't have to memorize decks or orders or shuffling. There's no need for shuffling once the game's begun. All you're trying to keep track of is who is moving what around. And part of that is operating on completely hidden information. When cards move from person to person, one player takes both the cards, moves them under the table, swaps them around, and then puts them back on the table, still face down. This means that you're never sure, necessarily, what's moving. You don't know who has moved what card or whatever. It's entirely possible they take two cards, they shuffle them around under the table, and they give themselves exactly what they already had, and they give the other card back person who they took it from. This idea is used in other games, but in the case of the botch, it's to provoke a feeling of uncertainty in everyone. This means that the botch cards tend to be kind of high stakes. They're often things like a gun where you can use them to hurt people. The botch is meant to be set in Melbourne. I've been trying, as I design games more, to use the fact that we live in Australia as part of informing my games. I'm still a little ashamed of media that proactively tries to assert its Australianness. I feel certainly with existing Australian media, there's a certain hokiness that comes with anything that tries too hard to wear its nationality as a brand. Part of that is because the American default out of cultural colonialism. I'm not a criminal. I don't crime much, and I don't have much association directly with anyone who commits serious crimes anymore. The crime scene of the botch is not meant to be a American gangland style of crime scene where you have people with, you know, heavily armed police shootouts and the intense brooding focus of CSI data sifting, or the potential of this dreadful force of the feds swooping in and bringing a whole extra level of complication. And it's also not really meant to be a British crime scene either, though definitely this game borrows in at least conceptual space from Guy Ritchie's movies Snatch and Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. More accurately, I'd say this game is trying to feel like class-divided criminals. In the top of the heap, you have the boss, and there are people who move in the boss's circles. But there's also the really low-end heavies, whose only real solution to problems is to headbutt it. The botch is looking at being released first as a print-and-play PDF, and then as a print-on-demand. We'll see how things go, but for now we're playing it by ear. Please do keep tuned. I will be tweeting about this as I go, and just generally double-checking myself every step of the way. Hey, making a mess is often really hard.